In the midst of a world full of violence, trouble, affliction, confusion, darkness, with terrible things here and terrible things seemingly coming over the horizon, Jesus stands and says to us, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled."
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We want to rejoice in that peace, explore that peace, consider that peace that Jesus wants to give to all of his people, and at last to recognize that he, in fact, is our peace, a peace that passes all understanding.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolf Miller making the case for Christian peace at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. St. Paul tells us that Jesus was obedient even unto death on a cross. What does that obedience mean? He is obedient to God, but in what form? He is God himself. He is the God who faced Moses there on Mount Sinai and gave his holy law to God's people. What theologians have done is they've talked about the active obedience of Christ and the passive obedience of Christ. What's the difference between those two, and why are both so necessary for understanding what Christ has done for us and how it is he saves us from the wrath of God? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's part 5 of our series on the person and work of Christ. Today, the active and passive obedience of Christ. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He posts theology on the YouTube channel Wolf Miller One. And he's author of several books, including Has American Christianity Failed? Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Tom.
Before we get into the distinction and the categories themselves, what do you personally find so comforting about this theological distinction of his active and passive obedience?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to meditate on, because in the meditation on the obedience of Christ, we are considering all that Jesus has done for us and then all that he's given to us. So this is right at the heart of the gospel. I was thinking about it, the picture, trying to imagine something like, if you could imagine heaven is like it's a gated community, and Moses is there at the gate, and you're trying to sneak in, and he keeps stopping you every time. You can't get in. But then Jesus comes along, and he's got like a big coat on, and he says, "Come on," and he sort of wraps his coat around you, and then he walks in, and Moses lets him in the gate. And so we're hidden in Christ, and we're into the presence of God and into eternal life because he's wrapped us in his robe, and that robe is his righteousness. So the thing that covers us, that washes away our sins, that hides us from the judgment of God, is this obedience of Christ, his righteousness, both actively engaged in his keeping of the law, and passive in his suffering for us. And so when we study this, we're studying not only what Christ has done, but what Christ has given and given to us.
Let's start with the act of obedience, which may be a little easier to comprehend. How has Jesus not only kept the law, but actively fulfilled the law?
Sure. This is a helpful thing to consider, especially as the old Lutheran theologians love to make this point, is that because Jesus is the author of the law, he is not obliged to keep the law like we are, but that he willingly submits himself to the law so that his obedience can also be for us. So Jesus, his keeping the law is not for himself. It's for his people. It's for his body, the church. It's for you and I, you and me. So that Jesus is doing all of these things, not by requirement, but freely and willingly. And so Jesus perfectly loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus also loved his neighbor as himself, even to the point of death on the cross. And this is his active keeping of the law. Romans 5:19 says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." That's Adam's fall. "So by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." That's Jesus. So his perfect keeping of the law is not for himself, it's for us. Or Galatians 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth a son born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoptions as sons. So that Jesus places himself willingly under the requirements of the law, and this is this chief part of our redemption. So it's a wonderful thing to consider here, that Jesus never broke the commandments of God, but in every way, in all of his thinking, desiring, speaking, doing, in all of it, he perfectly kept the law of God.
Why is that so important to emphasize the fact that Jesus is under no obligation to keep the law, because he is its author and its source? Because someone might say, well, couple that with the fact that Jesus could not sin, not only did not sin, but could not sin because he's sinless and he's God. That was a pretty easy task for him.
Yeah. The Bible makes it clear that whatever Jesus did was not easy. I mean, there was incredible suffering involved. So Jesus, according to his incarnation, is not like Superman who can fly around the world and spin it backwards or whatever, or bullets bounce off of him. He was mortal, and he was afflicted and tempted even in every way like we were, yet without sin, so that Jesus is able to agonize. I mean, that's the story of Jesus in the garden. And so his life was full of labors and hardship, more labors and hardship than any other human life was ever full of. So we don't want to say that this was an easy task for Jesus, but that, even if it was, I mean, that's maybe not the main point, is that Jesus, he's willingly doing these things that he had no obligation to do. Just like Jesus, of all people, you know, everybody owed death their life because all people are sinners, except for Jesus. He was the only person who would not have died. He wasn't a sinner, and therefore he had no obligation to death, so that he willingly gives up his life. For everybody else, their life is taken from them, but Jesus willingly gives up his life. And so also Jesus willingly gives this obedience to the law. There's this wonderful little quote from the Book of Concord. So this is Solid Declaration 3 in the formula. And I think this is a really helpful, right, with what we're talking about here. Since Christ is not man alone, it says, but God and man in one undivided person, he was as little subject to the law, not obliged to keep the law, because he is the Lord of the law, as he had to suffer and die as far as his person is concerned. So just like he didn't have to die, he also didn't have to keep the law. For this reason, then, his obedience, not only in suffering and dying, but also in this, that he, in our stead, was voluntarily made under the law and fulfilled it by his obedience, is imputed to us for righteousness. So that on account of this complete obedience, which he rendered his heavenly Father for us, by doing and suffering, in living and dying, God forgives our sins, regards us as godly and righteous, and eternally saves us. This is amazing, so that Jesus willingly takes on the obligations of the law, and even this is a condescension to our sinful condition, so that he can be our Savior for us. He can have a righteousness that he will impute to us.
And that is a righteousness that he earns by his obedience. He is righteous, obviously. But in his incarnation, he is actively, by his obedience, earning our salvation.
That's right. And in that way, undoing what Adam did. That's the point that Paul makes in the Romans 5 text. Paul is talking about Adam, who undid that original righteousness by his disobedience. Now Jesus is winning that obedience, that righteousness back by his obedience, by his keeping the commands of God, by his not breaking the law. So Jesus is now able to offer to us a perfect life of keeping God's law, so that we have, this is the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says that he who knew no sin, God made to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that in Christ we are clothed and covered and imputed with this perfect obedience, so that now we are, according to the reckoning of God through the blood of Jesus, we are also righteous in him.
How do we reconcile Jesus' act of obedience to the law? And here we probably speak narrowly about the Ten Commandments as a perfect summary of God's will, and the perception that his enemies have of him, of being a sinner, and in particular breaking some of those commandments, like the Sabbath laws.
Yeah, Jesus is pretty clear about this. So Jesus says that whenever he was thought to be a sinner, it was because they misunderstood the law. And so especially on the Sabbath, Jesus will say, look, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so he was not breaking God's command, but rather their understanding of God's commandment. Jesus would even go to the law to argue the point. If a man rescues an animal that's fallen in a pit on the Sabbath day, or when the priest circumcises a child, if their eighth day is on the Sabbath day, they're not breaking the law of God. And so Jesus will argue even legally that he is not a lawbreaker. And that's important. He was willing to take the abuse of the false witness. So in his trial, it's really clear that they brought forth many false witnesses to testify. And when Jesus is accused falsely, he doesn't answer back or defend himself. So he is, especially in his passion and his suffering, and this will enter into his passive obedience, he is willing to take the accusation of sin because that's the whole point. I mean, Jesus never hurt or harmed any of his brothers in his body, any human in their body, and yet Jesus is pleased to be accused or to bear the weight of every murder ever committed. Jesus never rebelled against his parents in any way, and yet Jesus is pleased to bear in his suffering all the rebellion and dishonor that all people have committed towards their fathers and their mothers. And all the way up and down the commandments, Jesus kept them all perfectly, and yet when he's accused, he doesn't defend himself because he will be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so all that sin, all that guilt is piled on his shoulders for him to suffer in our place.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's part five of our series on the person and work of Christ. We're talking about the active and passive obedience of Christ. Does this obedience demonstrate that God's law is good?
I'm going to focus mainly on the realm of education and the assault that's underway there.
Former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr talking about his presentation at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Historically, education was always viewed in the West as a parental and religious function, not the state's. For 100 years, public education was not hostile to Christianity. Starting in the 1960s, it really went on a crusade against Christianity, first by trying to strip out any vestige of traditional religion, but more recently by trying to affirmatively substitute their own ideologies for traditional religious belief, and it's become a tool of indoctrination.
You can meet and hear Bill Barr at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part five of our series on the person and work of Christ. We're discussing the active and passive obedience of Christ with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. So, Brian, does this willingness of Jesus to be totally obedient to the law, does it demonstrate in an indirect way that God's law is good?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we always, you know, in a way, when you look at the Ten Commandments, the chief thing that the Lord is doing is showing us our own sins. But there's a lot of other things going on with the Ten Commandments. So the Lord's showing us His perfect will. And in that way, the Ten Commandments are showing us what the life of Jesus was like and what is given to us by faith. So the righteousness that is imputed to us is the perfect keeping of the Ten Commandments. It's nothing else. So that the Christian could never despise the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are the description of the righteousness that Jesus imputes to us by faith. You know, the law reveals the depth of our sin, and so the law kills, and that's true. And as we wrestle with that theologically, we don't want to take away from that. I mean, it's important to recognize that, you know, this big debate in the Reformation was the command must imply the ability, and this is always the argument that sinners are making, that I must be able to keep the law myself. And so the Lutherans came along and said, no, that's not right at all. The law is what shows us our sins, and it shows us that we cannot save ourselves. It condemns us apart from Christ. We can't take away that hammer-crushing aspect of God's law. But we recognize that it crushes us and shows us our sin, not because it's bad, but because we're bad. And part of the thing that the preaching of the law does when it shows us our own sin is not to cause us to despise the law, but to despise ourselves because we don't keep the law. Even the preaching of the law should show us the goodness and holiness and perfection of God's law. And then how much more when we recognize that the Ten Commandments, which show us our sin, demonstrate the perfect righteousness of Christ and show us the great gift that He gives to us. The righteousness of God that is imputed to us, again from 2 Corinthians 5, that is the righteousness of the Ten Commandments.
Where do we find the passive obedience of Jesus in Scripture?
This has to do with the suffering of Jesus. And that's what passion means, to receive. And so the passion of Jesus is His receiving all of this trouble, the mockery, the scorn, the abuse, the whipping, the tearing out His beard, the spit, the mockery, the nails and the cross, and the spear and the whole deal. That's the passive obedience of Jesus. I was thinking about it, just to sort of frame it up in our imaginations. I was remembering that Luther invented this game one time for the kids, and he had the idea of having two pouches with two pockets, and you would write a Bible verse and you'd figure out, does it go in this pouch, in this pocket? And so the two pockets were theology and life. And in the theology pocket were two pouches, law and gospel. Is it showing me my sin? Is it forgiving my sin? But then on the life pocket, there was two pouches, and one was love and one was suffering. So love is the active side of our Christian life, and suffering is the passive side of our Christian life. And that's how it was for Jesus. When He was doing and living and serving, He was loving. That's His active obedience. But then He handed Himself over to the soldiers first, and then to the high priest, and then to the Sanhedrin, and then to Pilate and to his soldiers, to Herod and his soldiers, back to Pilate and his soldiers, who took Him to Golgotha to be crucified. And this handing Himself over to this scorn and abuse and this suffering, that is His passive obedience.
It's important to emphasize here that He did this willingly. This was His will. This is what He wanted to do.
Yeah, that's right. Hebrews says it like this, that Jesus who endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. So that Jesus, in one way, he did not want to suffer. In other words, it was for him truly suffering. And yet he was willing to suffer because of the joy that was set before him. And that joy is you and me and the eternal life of sinners, the redemption of Adam and Eve and of all those who trust in his name. This is the from Adam and Eve, this is the joy that was set before him. So Jesus, he willingly goes to all of the suffering and affliction to pay the price required to win the prize, which is our eternal life. So Jesus says in John, for example, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly, and I'll take it up again. So Jesus could have called at any moment. He could have, of course, rescued himself or called angels down to rescue him. And that's the amazing thing. You almost, if you could see the spiritual realm around Jesus in his suffering or in the trial, or, you know, they're the angel. You can almost think of the angel that was ready to grab a hold of Abraham's hand to stop the knife from plunging into Isaac. That same angel is there ready to grab the hand of the man who had a hammer, ready to nail the nail into Jesus' hands. And Jesus looks at the angel and says, no, so that the hand now comes down and lowers the blow that puts the nail through the hand of Christ. At any moment, he could have called it all to stop, but he does not. He is actively passive. He chooses to not stop all of this suffering so that his sacrifice is his sacrifice. He is both the lamb that is brought to the slaughter and also the high priest who brings the lamb to the slaughter. So that Jesus offers himself, this is the language of the scriptures, so that his sacrifice is a willing sacrifice. It's not taken from him, but his life is laid down for us.
And in suffering this, we see the agony, the physical agony, depicted in the passion accounts. But there is a different and deeper suffering that Jesus endures there willingly that we cannot see. We can hear about what it is, but we cannot see it.
This is helpful to remember the threefold suffering of Jesus. Martin Luther writes about this in his introduction to Psalm 22, which I found out a long time ago had never been translated from Latin. And so I'd been studying Latin for a little bit. And so I translated it. I sent it to Mark Taylor, who I think has been a guest on your show. And he said, Brian, you are never to translate Latin again. But he then translated it for me, and it's really quite beautiful that there's three kinds of suffering that Jesus endures. There's the suffering of the body, the physical suffering, which is the nails and the whip and everything that we see. And there's the suffering according to his name. That would be the shame of the cross that Hebrews talks about, how he despised that. That's the mockery. He saved others. Let him save himself. He trusted in God. Let's see if God will deliver him. This kind of thing. This is the behold the man, where Pilate holds Jesus out there like a plucked chicken. You call this guy a king? Look at how miserable and weak he is. But the real suffering, the redemptive suffering, is the wrath of God's suffering. It's being called a curse. Like Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This is the middle of the seven words from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? This forsakenness from God. Or in Isaiah, that's, you know, forsaking is kind of passive. The Lord turns from him. In Isaiah, it's active. We considered him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. It pleased the Lord to afflict him. So that the trouble that Jesus is suffering on the cross, the real redemptive suffering, is the wrath of God for sin suffering. It's the spiritual suffering there. It's the, like the wrath of God is like a heat-seeking missile, and Jesus sets himself on fire so that it all strikes him. And him instead of us. So that all our sin is now on Christ. All our guilt is there on Christ. All our shame is there on Christ. And so all of God's anger towards sin and guilt and shame, all of that is also on Christ and not on us. Now, we were talking about this morning, like if you can imagine his children who are playing in the mud and along comes this perfectly white and clean lamb, and they go and they rub their hands and their faces in the wool of this lamb so that they're clean and the lamb is filthy. And then the lamb walks inside and gets in trouble for making the mess. Well, it's not his mess. It's our mess, but he bears the wrath of it and the suffering of it. And so Jesus' passive obedience is that suffering, the wrath of God for the sins of humanity.
And it's not as though there's a physical suffering and then a spiritual suffering and the two never cross over. He is suffering the wrath of God in his physical suffering as well, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. They're all bound up to one another. And probably the reason that Jesus dies so quickly, right? Remember how Pilate was surprised that Jesus was dead after only 6 hours on the cross? It was normally a long and agonizing thing, but Jesus dies very quickly because of the intensity of the suffering that he's enduring there. So it's all wrapped up together, because it's not like, well, you know, we are body and soul bound up to one another. So even our guilty conscience makes our bones weak. This is the same sort of thing. This was a entirety of suffering, and no one has ever suffered like this. And that maybe is the point. It's good for us to remember there's been plenty of people crucified, but no one has stood between us and the wrath of God. No one has had the righteous anger of the Lord poured out on them except for Jesus, because, again, it's the point. He's getting all of that so that we won't. He's our substitute. This is the vicarious satisfaction. This is the doctrine of the atonement, that Jesus is standing between us and the wrath of God, and so that he is suffering like no one ever had and no one ever will suffer. And he does that so that we can avoid it and escape it. He endures the fullness of God's wrath so that we can have the fullness of his great love. Jesus, again, prays Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we can know that even if we're in the valley of the shadow of the death, a shadow of death, the Lord is with us. He won't abandon us or forsake us or leave us. So that Jesus is stricken so that we can be healed. By his stripes, we are healed.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about the active and passive obedience of Christ. Pastor Wolfmiller is pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He posts theology on the YouTube channel Wolfmiller One, and he's author of several books, including Has American Christianity Failed? If you appreciate Pastor Wolfmiller's biblical insights, be sure to attend the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Pastor Wolfmiller will be making the case for Christian peace. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150 and includes 3 meals. You can find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org or register by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, June 24th and 25th in River Forest, Illinois. When we return, we're going to talk about how the active and passive obedience of Christ is a comfort to us.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Issues Etc. guests are frequent contributors to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is a must-have resource for every Issues Etc. listener. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Interpreting the world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. cph.org/witness or 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When a 2018 fire nearly destroyed Milwaukee's historic Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, we got to work, but continued to give the gifts Christ freely gives to his saints here in Milwaukee as we have since 1847. We are nearly two-thirds of the way to completion on this historic restoration, but we need help to finish this work. Will you join us? Please consider joining us. Visit trinitymilwaukee.org for more information. And as pastor, I can't wait to welcome you home to Trinity.
Does God really exist?
Aren't all religions the same anyway?
Who is Jesus?
These are just some of the questions people ask. Apologetics Today one-day seminars with Dr. Nancy Almodovar and pastors from local Lutheran churches will teach you how to give a reason for your faith. Come join us on Saturday, May 14th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. For more information or to register, please visit LutheranGirl.org.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll study the Lord's Supper hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're talking about the active and passive obedience of Christ with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Brian, so how does this active and passive obedience constitute a rescue from the devil?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, the devil has us in slavery in a couple of different ways, especially by the fear of death. This is just one of these plain teachings of the scripture that is hard. It's one of those places where the Bible will slap us in the face and we have to take notice, is that if we are afraid to die, we are subject to the devil. This is Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Therefore, the children share in flesh and blood. That means we've got our mortal bodies. He himself likewise partook of the same. That's Jesus in the incarnation. That through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So the fear of death is slavery. And we should all then, it's a call to repentance and to think about this. Am I afraid to die? I am afraid to die. And Lord, forgive me for being afraid to die. And Lord, set me free from the fear of death, knowing that death has lost its sting because Jesus has died for me and he's been raised from the dead for me. So that through his death, Jesus has destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And we are now set free because for us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus says in John chapter 5, this beautiful thing, he says, those who believe in me have passed from death to life, and they will not come into judgment. So the fearful part of dying is being judged, but all your sins are already forgiven. The judgment for the Christian has already happened so that the Lord has now given you eternal life. You are already partakers of his life, his eternal life. And so death has no power over us. Death has no coercion over us. He sets us free from the fear of death. And being free from the fear of death means being free also from the slavery and the bondage to the devil, which is an incredible gift. It's an amazing thing for the Christian to know that we are set free. And it's a really helpful thing to think about too, that insofar as those around us who do not know Christ and the power of his resurrection that is at work in us, they are living a life enslaved to the fear of death. I mean, we saw that so clearly during the pandemic, the slavery to the fear of death. And so the church has an emancipation proclamation. The church has a gift to give, a freedom from this slavery that binds all of humanity in the Easter proclamation that Christ is risen. And so his suffering for us, his dying for us, his rising on the third day for us sets us free from sin and from death and from the devil. It rescues us from these three great enemies.
Finally, with a minute, it has been suggested by more liberal Lutheran scholars that Jesus may have, in fact, committed his own sin. They even, one of them even cites, my God, why have you forsaken me, as disbelief in his Father, and therefore Jesus committed his own sin. What's at stake in the idea that Jesus is obedient in our place?
Oh, boy. If someone thinks that the Bible lies to us, then they are not worthy to be called a theologian. This is the basic thing, is that the scriptures are true, that God does not lie. And the scriptures tell us plainly that Jesus committed no sin. And that was necessary because he was the spotless lamb without blemish who was taking on our sins and failures. If Christ was a sinner, then not only could he not be the sacrifice for us, but he would need himself a redeemer and a savior. It's utter foolishness. That the sin that Jesus has is an alien sin, not his own sin, but the sins of others that he willingly bears so that he can give to us an alien righteousness. He takes all of our failures and gives us his perfection. And if that is lost, I mean, the devil knew the stakes. The devil is there in the wilderness trying to tempt Jesus into sin, knowing that if Jesus committed a sin, he couldn't be the Savior. And the devil knew that he was defeated. It would be great if these theologians could even have the wisdom that the devil has to know that Jesus is perfect and that his death and resurrection is our life and salvation. But they've fallen even farther than that. But it's the perfection of Jesus, his righteousness, his obedience, active and passive, his keeping the law and suffering all for us. That's our only hope in life and death, but it is a sure hope, and it will stand through all. It will stand, and we will be hidden in that righteousness and come into the Lord's glory.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He hosts Theology on the YouTube channel Wolf Miller One, and he's author of several books, including His American Christianity Failed. Brian, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy on the St. Peter option, Living as Exiles in a Foreign Land, and we'll study the Lord's Supper hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.